You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Kamajis, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. As you can probably hear, I am recovering from the flu, so my voice is a bit off today, and I'm usually one who will postpone when needed, but today was one of those situations where we didn't really have the option to do that, so we're just going to push through. So I ask that you just bear with me as I try to make my voice last. It has been a crazy week and a half here in our household with norovirus, ear infections, both flu A and B, snow days. Needless to say, it has been one of those times I've been so grateful to work for myself and not have to check to make sure that I have enough sick time or that I have to ask my boss to take days off to care for myself and my kids. So it feels fitting for my conversation with my guest today, where we're going to be talking about future-proofing our practice. My guest today is Valerie Craig, therapist, business coach, and the founder of Practice with Valerie, where she helps therapists build thriving, sustainable practices without the overwhelm. After wrestling with too many cookie-cutter marketing strategies in her own therapy practice, Valerie created a simpler, smarter method to attract ideal clients and grow a business that actually fits into real life. When she's not coaching or therapying, you'll probably find Valerie getting into trouble outdoors, making questionable cooking decisions with her kids, or indulging her not-so-hidden talent of painting. Valerie loves good food, great friends, and believing that building your dream practice should feel more like brunch with your besties, warm, inspiring, and something you look forward to. Valerie, thank you so much for being here today. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. I'm so excited.
So I always love to hear people's stories about how did you kind of get into this field? Because I think it can be inspiring for those who may be starting out or those of us who are in it and have been like, oh, this isn't the direction I thought I was going to go. Or, you know, I just find it really fascinating, like how we all have things that overlap, but that are also different. So I know you are also a licensed clinical social worker, like I am. So how did you get into this field and say, like, I think I want to be a therapist?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I'm the poster child for, I didn't think it was going to turn out this way. Like, I'm the poster child for that. So I didn't realize I wanted to be a therapist. I always thought that I wanted to be a community organizer, or maybe I wanted to get involved something in public health or policy. And when I went to grad school, University of Chicago, my first year, that was really my focus. But then through internships, love them and hate them, I got to do some hands-on work and I started to really fall in love with therapy. But I still push through to steal something you said earlier. And I said, you know, I'm going to this expensive grad school. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go into public policy. But after a few years, it just kept calling me back. So I kept coming back to the social work world. And I spent many years in public education, community mental health, and finally drifted into private practice, not necessarily because I wanted to, but I think because, like probably a lot of your listeners, community mental health wasn't sustainable. With two kids under two at the time, I literally couldn't afford to keep the job I loved in community mental health. And so that brought me to private practice. And I've fallen in love with it more and more every day.
How long have you been in private practice now?
Oh my gosh, we're 8.5 years now. I always count it around my kids' birthdays. So we're 8.5 years now.
Yep. Yeah. No, and it's wild when you like step back and think about like, oh gosh, it has been that long that I've been doing this.
I know.
So one of the things I think people don't always realize when they're like going into practice, I think a lot of times there is these conversations around like, well, how do I build the practice and all of that, but not realizing that like when you are becoming a practice owner, even if you're solo, even if you have no desire to be a group owner, I don't, that you are becoming a business owner. You are becoming an entrepreneur. And I love it. It's amazing. I wouldn't change it for anything, but there can be a lot of ups and downs with it for a variety of reasons. And so I'm curious, in your own experience with your practice, whether it was in building it or just at various times, like, what are some of the uncertainties that you have experienced in your own practice?
Oh my gosh, so many. And I have to say, for anybody who's listening, even 8.5, almost 9 years in, there are still days when I experience uncertainties in private practice. I think that's a really normal part of owning your own business. And it took me a while to shift into that mindset that this is a business and I'm a business owner and maybe even an entrepreneur. It took me many years to actually slip into that mindset. And, kind of thinking about those uncertainties. When I started, I had no idea what I was doing, and I made so many mistakes. I could talk hours about the mistakes I made. And finally, after I would say probably about a year and a half, it took me about a year and a half to really understand what do I need in my private practice. I spent an embarrassing amount of money, tons of time trying to learn from other practice builders and coaches, what does it take to build a thriving practice? And it took a long time for me to realize, there is no checklist. I actually had to sit back and think about my vision, my goals, and the strategy to get to my vision and goals. And it was only then when I really understood what I was trying to do, why I was trying to do it, and kind of put together a roadmap from where I was starting to where I wanted to go, that some of that uncertainty started to fall away.
What helped you to kind of break away from those places where you're like, okay, well, this is what it's supposed to be, and like, no, what is it that I want it to be? Like, what kind of helped shake that up for you?
Failure. Like, honestly, what it was supposed to be. I know there are a lot of folks who, and I love this for them, who they go into private practice and things click, and that is great. I am not one of those people. Things did not click for me. So I had to follow the, I guess I would call it the quote unquote rule book for quite a while and then fail and step back and ask myself. At some point, I really had to realize, hey, maybe it's not me. Maybe it's the supposed to's. Maybe that's actually what's getting in the way. And at some point, I had failed so many times at the supposed to's that there really wasn't anything to lose with trying something different. And so I just decided to go in that direction. And that's when it really clicked.
Well, and it's interesting because I feel like the supposed to's, when you're leaving community mental health work or agency work, I feel like we're trying to leave the supposed to's in a lot of ways, right? You're supposed to go to school, you get your degree, you go, work for a little money. This is what you're supposed to do, right? You're supposed to work within this system. That's what you have the degree for, right? And that I've always viewed private practice as an opportunity to like break free from that and to do my own thing and breaking free from these systems that are telling me this supposed to. But I think sometimes it's so easy to fall back into that mindset of the supposed to's because, well, I mean, there's a variety of reasons, but I think one of them is we're not taught the things that like we're all seeking help to do is how do you build this practice, right? Like that's not taught to us in school. So we do look to other people, like, what did you do? How did this work? And so there can be sometimes this, well, this is what you are supposed to do, or this is what you have to do. And I don't know that that's always, I don't think that's correct. So I'm curious, like, how did you figure out for yourself what was they supposed to, but really for you, maybe you were able to shift into, well, this is what I want to, or this is what works for me.
Yeah. So I think you hit the nail on the head. There are so many supposed to's that maybe we don't even realize. It's the water we're swimming in. We leave community mental health or, public schools or group practice, whatever it is, because we want to get rid of those supposed to's, but we're coming into another field, I guess I could say, or another culture where there's still a lot of supposed to's, whether we know them, whether we recognize them or not. And so there are a lot of supposed tos that are unspoken, but very much communicated in this practice building world. And so I think one of the first supposed tos that I really had to break free from was honestly around my fee structure. What was I supposed to charge and why? And I had to break free on both ends, from charging too little, which just didn't make sense for my business. I couldn't keep my doors open. And also the pressure to charge more than I was, than felt like was necessary for me to run my business because I could. And so there's pressure on both ends. And so kind of breaking free to find something that felt good for me. And so that was like one supposed to. Same thing about, how I was told I was supposed to set my hours. From one extreme to the other. One extreme said, set your hours based on when you think you can get clients, evenings and weekends. I have two kids. I don't want to work evenings and weekends. But then there was this other supposed to that said, do whatever you want. And I also found that for me, I also have to think about my ideal client, that I do have to think about, well, when are they available as well? So there has to be a sweet spot in the middle between some of this black and white thinking. And those are really, I think, the big supposed tos that I had to break away from.
No, and I think you're right. Like, there's so much more nuance to this when it comes to practice building and really practice design, right? That it is much more nuanced, because exactly what you're talking about. Like, I can say I want to work at, 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. because, like, I'm up that late. It's fine. I don't mind. But, like, my clients aren't gonna. My clients are those that have children. They are not going to be up. Well, they may be up nursing, right? But, like, we're not doing therapy at 1 in the morning. They're trying to get back to bed, right? But figuring out, like, what is it that works for me and feels aligned for my values and my needs, and then also that part of, like, how does it fit my ideal client? Because I think that that's also so important too. Because I've in the past done it where, like, okay, well, I'm putting my schedule here because this is what I think people are saying, this is what they need. And I know I can get clients at that time, but it no longer works for me because of family, because of schedule, all those things. So yeah, it is just like, yeah, this, like, finding this perfect marriage, this sweet spot of not caving in my own needs to fit what the client wants, but also I want to work with clients that I am aligned with and that feels good. So how do I find that place? And it's not going to be following a supposed to, because what's going to work for my clients isn't going to work for yours.
Exactly. And I think that's the huge mindset shift. When we hop into all these Facebook groups and we ask our colleagues, like, what did you do to fill your practice? What do I need to do? We hear their roadmap. We hear what worked for them, their best fit clients, whatever's going on in their life at the time. We hear about their sweet spot, but their sweet spot might not be yours. And that's okay. We have to be able to step back and say, I might need something different in my practice. So everybody else's advice that works great for them, great. But it's okay if it doesn't work for me. And that probably doesn't mean I'm doing something wrong. It just means I haven't found the right advice yet, or I haven't found the right map.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug and send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/comp connecting. So when we're thinking about, like, designing a practice, right, that part, that kind of that sweet spot that fits with what our needs are, what we want, how we want it to feel and look, how does that fit in with this idea of, like, building a sustainable practice, building a practice that, like, we're helping to kind of future-proof?
Well, I think first and foremost, the idea of future-proofing your practice at its core means designing a practice that is going to work for you long term. Because there are so many things you can do short term. You can white knuckle your way through that are not going to be sustainable for your practice. I mean, I think you described it so beautifully. We can design these schedules, for example, that we can fill because clients, they want to come at 6 p.m. every day, every weekday. They want to come on Saturdays, but maybe that's not your sustainable burnout proof practice. So I think first and foremost, you really have to think about your vision. Like, what is your vision for your practice? And then we have to build in, I like to call it flexibility. We have to build in flexibility to the plan. I mean, you brought it up and you talked about it so well. You know, sometimes we have to push through, but there are other times where we physically can't. Our kids are homesick, the school calls you. You know, your youngest just threw up and you have to cancel your clients. It doesn't matter how much you want to see them or how much maybe you needed the income. There are things that we have to do. And future-proofing is stepping back, embracing that we're human, that we have a real life and real impact, and actually building that into your plan. And that's something of a profit calculator that we build that into your plan. And that's one of the things of future-proofing is you plan for things to happen and you really understand in and out what is working and what is not working in your practice versus kind of throwing some stuff against the wall just to see what sticks. You really know it and know it well.
Well, and when we talk about future-proofing your practice, you know, I hear what you're saying about like the burnout. Like, what are other aspects in thinking about like this idea of future-proofing it?
So I think another huge aspect, and we kind of talked about that, is you want to future-proof around time off. You want to future-proof around your income. You need to really understand how do you create flexibility in your income to absorb client cancellations, to absorb client graduations. We all love to see our clients graduate, but if you're not really sure where your next client's going to come from, that can send you into a panic. So we need to have things in place to absorb those moments where you're going to have less income. So that's a huge part of it is planning for change, planning for your practice to have these natural ups and downs, whether it's on a day-to-day basis around taking time off, sick leave, or it's those bigger issues around the natural ebbs and flows of your practice. So understanding when are my slow periods? When are my busy periods? And it all goes into all the different aspects of how you actually design, going back to something you described, I think you chose those words beautifully. So, for example, you might design your fee around the plan that you're human and you're going to be sick and your kids are going to be sick. You might design times away from the office around your slow period. So I always like to use myself as an example. I'm a couples therapist and, starting about a week before Halloween, because I work with couples with younger kids, about a week before Halloween through, interestingly enough, for us, it's about right after Thanksgiving. We're pretty slow. Don't onboard a lot of new clients. Right? That's a time where people are just really busy. They have a lot of things to do. So I know that's a great time for me to plan maybe building my marketing strategy or updating my website and plan for all of these different moments that come up, essentially to meet the moment and to be ready for whatever's coming your way. So I think those are really concrete ways of looking at it. And then, of course, you have this bigger idea. Future proofing is also about understanding where is my next client coming from? What do I do when my caseload gets a little small? When I'm an amazing therapist and 10 clients graduate when I only thought one or two would. Future proofing is understanding, well, what is my plan for when that happens? Because I know exactly where my best fit clients are and I know exactly how to go get them. And if it's going to cost me time in terms of marketing, I have that time set aside. Or if it's going to cost me money in terms of marketing, I've budgeted that for my practice. So there are no more surprises. There is not that scramble to fill your caseload or to maybe make up your income at the end of the year. We have it planned. We're really strategic about things.
Well, and I think to that point of like having that plan, you know, there are times, like you said, where you're not getting as many clients in because it's just the time of year. And that there can be sometimes this feeling of panic. But if you already know this is my marketing plan, these are the strategies that work for me, right? In those really busy times when you're like, the phone is ringing off the hook, I'm getting emails every day, my caseload is full. I either have or I don't have a wait list, but I know, like, even if I'm not keeping a wait list, people are still coming. When it does feel slower, going back to that plan is like turning the hose back on, right? Like, you can turn it back on and be like, it's not like this panic of, oh my gosh, what do I do now? It's like, okay, no, like, I go back to like tweaking some stuff on my website to reoptimize it to make sure it's, being found, or it's connecting with some additional referral sources through networking, right? Whatever your strategies are. Knowing what those are, feeling grounded in them, and then being able to come back to them so it doesn't have to be that scramble. Like, no, I just go back to my plan.
Exactly. No, I just go back to my plan. And when we're really savvy about the plan, we can even see it coming in advance because we know what to expect, or maybe we've been watching certain data points. For me, I always talk to my one-on-one therapist clients about their data points and their key performance indicators. So we can see those slow times coming. And so you can start ramping up your marketing so that you are in the perfect place when you have clients drop off or when your caseload's a little bit lighter. So just like you said, instead of having this mad rush when you look up and you realize the phone isn't ringing, I have four clients on my schedule this week. Oh no, what am I going to do? You've been planning for it and you've been getting ready to meet that moment. So there is no stress. You know exactly what you need to do.
I know you mentioned being savvy, and speaking of savvy, you have something really exciting coming up that you are hosting called the Savvy Practice Summit. Can you share with listeners about what that is?
Yeah, I'm so excited about this. So on March 10th, which I think is about a week after this podcast airs, we are hosting the Savvy Practice Summit. And this is a 3-day virtual event designed to take you from basically, I like to say, broke to booked. This is your free ticket to a profitable practice. We're going to have 24 experts in business and marketing, in moving beyond the therapy room, mindset. 24 practice experts are going to spill all the real secrets on what it takes to make more money and have less stress in private practice. So, we have 3 days to cover everything from marketing to business strategy to moving beyond one-on-one therapy. Whether that means, hey, it's time to get creative in the therapy room, maybe adding intensives, or adding something else entirely different. Because you want to expand your impact in a new way. We have 3 days to kind of take you through everything you need to dream big in your private practice.
So, for somebody who is like just starting out, maybe they haven't even gotten started, but they know private practice is the route they want to go, what would they find there?
Oh, so they're going to find so much there. So on the first day, they're going to find marketing strategies. And one thing I like to always One of our, taglines in my business practice, Valerie's, we don't do fluff, right? So you're not going to come in. We're not going to tell you create a Psychology Today profile. We're not going to tell you that basic advice. You are going to find so much actionable marketing advice. We have speakers all the way from Anna Walker, who's going to help us talk about how do you actually find a niche that works. To Daniel Fava, who's going to talk about SEO strategies. We're going to talk about social media. Networking. Actually, you're one of our amazing guests is going to talk about how do you find freedom in your online practice. So everything that you're going to need from marketing to, like I mentioned, business strategy, because it takes so much more than being an amazing therapist to run a business. And I have to tell you, it took me years to get that. So if you come to the Savvy Practice Summit, you'll start getting that on day two, where we're talking about business strategy. What are some of the strategies you need to be a successful business owner? And we're also th throwing in some super cool guests. We have Lyeth Dalton from Person Centered Tech. So if you ever wondered about ethics in marketing or privacy related to your clients, she's coming in. We have someone from Heard Accounting who's going to talk to us about taxes and bookkeeping. Because like you mentioned earlier, we're business owners now, right? So all of these strategies. And then on day three, even if you're new to private practice, there is so many creative ideas that we come in with as therapists. And you described it so well earlier. We break away from community mental health because we want to break away from the shoulds. But sometimes we need a little permission to really let those go. And that is what day three is all about, right? It's just giving us permission to think creatively in your practice, whatever that's going to look like, whether that's adding maybe some holistic modalities, because you've always wanted to do that, or trying something a little different with intensives, all sorts of different options to really think about what's next in my private practice. Now that I let go of the shoulds and I'm no longer doing the things that they told me I have to do, what do I really want? So day three is great for kind of giving you permission to really think about those things and explore.
So it really sounds like it's for anybody, right? Whether they're just starting out, have been in practice for a while, if they're looking at shifting some stuff in their business, maybe they want to do something a little bit differently, like intensives or even some other income opportunities. It really sounds like it could be for anybody that is in this field.
Absolutely. Anybody who wants to attract more clients, particularly private pay clients, and who really wants to feel more confident about their business, wherever you're at in terms of your starting your business, whether you're brand new to private practice, or maybe you're really thinking about, well, what's my next growth stage? Wherever you're at, this is really about helping you feel more confident that you're going to reach those goals, whether it's a full caseload. Or maybe it's a whole coaching program that you want to add on to your practice on the back end. We can meet you where you're at.
Well, and the whole summit is completely free, right? So anybody who signs up, it doesn't cost any money to sign up for it, right?
Yes, it is completely free, which is one of the exciting things. So it is free. Every single interview is free. So you sign up, it is a free virtual event. One of the great things about this summit is we are making sure that you have access to everything that has been recorded. So you do not have to worry about canceling your clients or rearranging your schedule or getting childcare to show up live to this summit. None of that. We understand that you have a busy schedule. So you have 48-hour access with your free ticket to every single interview. So you have time to watch everything on demand, to absorb just all of this amazing advice and guidance from these experts, and then really implement it in your practice.
I'm really, really excited to be participating in it. And I was looking at the speaker lineup and I was like, oh, that's some stuff that I want. I
Yes.
need to go back and listen to, or that I want to brush up on. So I'm super, super excited. So I think this is like a really great opportunity for anybody, right? Whether you're just starting out or have been in practice for a while. And I love what you said, that there have been so many different types of summits and stuff sometimes where it's like, that's great, but I have a full day of clients and stuff. So the ability to not have to worry about like attending live, especially for those of us that are caregivers, is so important because, we can say, yeah, I'm going to do that, but your week could be like mine last week and like everybody's home and everybody's sick and you can't do that, right? So you can watch it, listen to it, at a time that works for you.
Absolutely. And, kind of like you said earlier, if your sweet spot is 1 a.m., watch everything at 1 a.m. We
Yeah.
also have a pop-up Facebook group. So watch it at 1 a.m., come to the Facebook group, drop your comments, drop your questions, and you can still connect with this greater community of speakers and therapists sort of on your schedule. Because
Yeah.
everybody here, I know everybody who is listening, has a jam-packed schedule. And so we want to make this available and accessible for everyone.
And I will have a link in the show notes for people to be able to sign up, get access to the summit directly from the show notes. Valerie, if people want to connect with you outside of this episode, what's the best place for them to find you?
So they can find me in a couple different places. I'm definitely a TikTok girly. So if you like TikTok, visit me on TikTok at Practice with Valerie. But I'm also on Instagram and Facebook. And if you want to think about future-proofing your practice in a practical way, make sure you grab my practice profit checklist, or I should say calculator, actually. That's going to actually help you plan out what does your fee need to be to future-proof for all of those days where you can't see clients. and also to future-proof for vacation and retirement and all of the things that you actually need to be successful. So you can grab that on my website, practicewithvalerie.com/calculator. Either way, reach out. I'd love to connect.
And we'll have that all linked in the show notes. Valerie, thank you so much for being here. I'm excited to continue to connect with you over the next couple of weeks with the summit. And just thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raise to empower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.